Do you have a heaven suit? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. If you wanted to travel in outer space, you'd need a space suit. If you wanted to go down into the ocean, you'd need a diving suit. And right now, you're wearing a suit designed for this environment, an earth suit, if you will. We usually call it our body. But that suit is not suited for eternity. Today, we'll hear from both Paul and Peter regarding the art of dying well.
Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a quick moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here the Apostle Paul talks about this matter of the physical body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We know, let me paraphrase that, Peter knew that if his earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. The word destroyed there means to strike the tent, to dismantle it, to take it down. Some of you remember that this past fall, when we had our fun day here at WCS, we had those tents out there. Remember the white tents? You remember the electric storm came in and we couldn't take them down because of lightning and metal poles, and that's not a good combination. Remember that? So we all came to church on Sunday morning, and there were those tents occupying about a third of our parking lot. Remember that? Now, those tents don't belong there. They're temporary. And that afternoon, the crews came in and they struck the tents. They destroyed the tents. They took them down. They dismantled them. That's what this word means. Peter knew that if his earthly house, and that means that his body has been designed by the Creator to relate to the earth. We'll talk more about that in a future message. We talk about the resurrection. But our body connects us to this earth. It needs vegetables that are grown in this earth. It needs vitamins that come from this earth. It needs water that comes from this earth. It is dependent upon this earth and the processes that God built when He created the earth. When He created the first man and woman, He created a garden, and in that garden, He provided things which would nourish and strengthen Adam and Eve physically. Right? Our bodies are of the earth, earthly. They are dust, and as you have heard intoned over and over again at an open graveside, dust thou art, and what? What? To dust thou shalt return. That's a recognition that this part of me that is body, this tent, is of the earth, earthly. It's designed to function in the earth. That's why if I want to go down in the sea, I have to put a suit on. If I want to go up into the stratosphere on a trip to the moon, I have to put a suit on. Because my body is not designed for space travel. It's not designed for undersea exploration. It's designed to function in harmony with the laws that God has established on this earth. Okay? So it's the vessel or the vehicle by which God wants my spirit to be in touch with the rest of the world and with you. You have a physical body. I have a physical body. And therefore, I can relate to you and we can relate to each other. But you also have something else. You not only are a spirit, you not only live in a body, but you are a soul. And that means you have mind and thought and imagination and vocabulary. And we can talk back and forth. I can do something with you I can't do with my dog. A lot of things with you I can't do with my dog. I can't do with my horse. As nice as it is that the dolphins talk to each other and that the whales groan and understand each other, that's wonderful. But I don't understand the language. But I can talk to you, and you can talk to me. I can feel when you're hurting, because I have a soul. You have a soul. And that gives me a relationship with you. It makes it possible for us to communicate. And the soul is not physical. It is part of my spirit. And my spirit comes from God. It does not originate out of my body. My spirit comes from God. And that's why in Psalm 139, why the psalmist says that God formed me in my mother's womb out of nothing, and that he wove my substance together, and that in doing so, God had a target, he had a goal, and that God, before he began the process of preparing for me a body in which to live, already had predetermined the date of my birth and the date of my death. See, I'm bigger than my body. And Peter knew that. And so when he says, I must shortly put off my tent, he wasn't rattled by that. That didn't bother him. He knew that his substance, his person, his character, his identity was not tied to his physical body. It was the outward tent in which the real person lived. I wish it were possible tonight, and it isn't. But I wish it were possible to snap my fingers and for 15 minutes have everybody in the sound of my voice be able to transcend your body and meet each other spiritually. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I want to tell you, there's some very wise people here tonight. You probably don't think so. You don't know them. There's some very beautiful people here tonight. I mean, just incredibly beautiful. But as you look at them, you don't see that. What strikes your eye is physical. And so you depreciate or you don't value the person sitting next to you, beside you, around you. Or worse than that, we look at people physically and we think of them as a part of the animal world. And we try to control them and manipulate them and use them for our own selfish interest. Now, I know you all don't do that, but I do. See how distorted our view of reality becomes if we don't listen to Jesus and learn from him how to die. Because death is that moment when what is temporary, what is earthly, what is tent is laid aside. And what is true, what is eternal, what is spiritual, what is really me goes on. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Peter knew, and I'm citing 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from the pen of Paul, Peter knew that if his earthly house, this tent, the body, is destroyed, the tent is struck, we have a building from God. The Greek says out of God, ek theos, out of God, produced directly by God. Wow. That's incredible to think about. A new body. A body that doesn't derive its essence from evolutionary process, a body that isn't derived from my trial and error and my failures, but a body that comes fresh from the hand of the Creator himself, a body that perfectly matches my character. Now, for some of us, it's frightening. But for the Christian and for Peter, it was thrilling. That my body, the body that I need, the place for my soul spirit to inhabit when it leaves this temporary tent, that body will be fresh from the Creator's hand. It comes out of God. And that body, we read, is not made with hands, mine or any human's. It is nothing to do with this life or the conceptions of this light. No artist can conceive it. No sculptor can pattern it. It is a body that exists for eternity, and a body that is designed for heavenly dwelling, so that I will be as suited for experiencing heaven in that body as I am suited for experiencing earth in this body. Only difference is this body, under the burden of sin, has become corrupt. It's become diseased. It's become frail. That's what he talked about in the end of chapter 4. He says in verse 16 of chapter 4, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary." That's our body. See what he's saying? And Paul is talking here about how our body, our tent, is subject to affliction, suffering, disease, destruction, old age, all of those things. But we don't focus on that. Peter didn't focus on that. Peter knew that all that pertained to his present physical body, his present physical tent. And when he gets the new body, that body will be eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, "For in this body, this tent, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Wow. Do you realize that the Bible sanctions heavenly homesickness? You've all heard that slang phrase, "He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." I want to tell you, that's the kind of person God's looking for. Person who is so heavenly minded, so heavenly focused, that the things of this earth have lost all attraction, all hold, all intimidating weight upon them. I hope I can earn that reputation someday. I hope people will say of him, "Jim, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." Great, because when I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. Then, by the grace of God, I can have a good impact on the earth and the people in it, because I will be focusing and hopefully reflecting to them things eternal while they're preoccupied with things only temporal. Well, Peter knew that. Peter knew that. And Peter said, I'm soon going to strike the tent. I'm going to lay off." Let's look at it again, 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, "I'm going to do this." When it comes to this present earthly tent, he said, "I must surely put off my tent, just as my Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And the picture they're putting off is to undress. Undress in just a few moments, hours. All of us are going to prepare for bed. You're going to take off clothing that you're wearing now that's appropriate to outside in the weather. And you're going to put on clothing that's appropriate to crawl in that nice warm bed. Now, when you change clothes, when you get in your pajamas tonight, will you cease to be the person you are? Nope. Nope. Your clothing do not make the man. Same person. And for Peter, death had become just a matter of taking off a tent, changing clothes. Isn't that incredible? Incredible? That's what death was for Jesus. That's what death was for Peter. Now I want to show you something just extra tonight, since you had to come on a Monday night. This is extra. You want to pay extra for this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Just so you know, I'm not blowing smoke. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here Peter was talking and writing about how Jesus Christ experienced death. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." What does that mean? That means his body. His body experienced death. His body experienced pain. Through his body, he experienced suffering. the nail prints in the hands. Those were real nerves connected to a real central nervous system. And he experienced physical pain. The crown of thorns, the blood that flowed down his brow was human blood. It tasted salty. When he sweat as it were great drops of blood, his perspiration was real human perspiration. He was physically naked on the cross, and he experienced the humiliation of the crowds walking by and saying the things that they said about him physically. He was put to death in the flesh. The flesh is talking about that tent. It's talking about that human body in which Jesus lived, in which God the Son took up residence among us. Okay? Now look at the rest of the verse. In contrast to being put to death in the flesh, he was made alive, the text should say, in the Spirit, in which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. That verse has been understood to say that while the body of Jesus Christ slumped on the cross, Jesus is on the cross, been there for 3 hours. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. I thirst. Son, behold your mom. Mom, behold your son. And then it is finished. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. At that instant, his body slumped lifeless on the cross. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Where did the spirit go? It went to the spirits in prison who are identified here for us. You see it there in verse 18. These spirits in prison were people who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was yet preparing, so on and so on and so on. So he went to preach to the spirits of people whose bodies were in the graves. But their spirits were in that place that he described in Luke when he said, the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, to see that Lazarus was far off in Abraham's bosom. That's the place Jesus, in spirit, not in body. The disciples went to Pilate, got permission, took his body down from the cross, wrapped it, and put it in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, rolled the stone back. Later, the Roman guard came and sealed it, and Jesus' body, his flesh, was there in the sepulcher 3 days and three nights. Right? During that 3 days and three nights, what was Jesus doing? He's very much alive. Very much alive. He wasn't sleeping. He was very busy. He had things to do. I want you to see this because I want you to see that in Peter's understanding of the death of Jesus Christ, he saw the distinction between the body, the flesh, the tent that was on the cross in the grave, and the spirit that Jesus dismissed to the Father that went to speak to prisoners, other human spirits that were in a prison, people who had lived back in the days of Noah. You see that? So when Peter says, I know that I must surely put off this tent, just as my Lord has shown me, he's not whistling Dixie. This is not the little boy whistling in the dark, hoping nothing will jump out and say boo. This is Peter walking in the dark with the certain light that there's nothing out there to say boo to. This is Peter facing his death, ready to die well. Why? Because he knew, if I can go back to 2 Corinthians 5 for just a moment, he knew that to be absent from the body is to what? Present with the Lord. Hey, Menesco is right. I'm with you. First of all, Peter was ready to die effectively because he learned the lessons of faith the Lord had taught him. He believed what Jesus taught him in the upper room. It finally made sense to him. Secondly, he understood that his body and his spirit were different, and his body was temporary. It was a tent. He would lay it aside, and that God would make, had already anticipated the need for whatever replacement body he needed, and that his soul and spirit, his real self, would step out of that tent, and that was okay. He didn't lose substance. He didn't lose identity. Death is not where you dissolve as a person. Death is not where you hit a wall and splash like a fly. Death is like taking off your coat tonight and putting on your warm slippers. Death is when you slip out of your pants and out of your dress and you put on the comfortable nightwear. You don't cease to be a person. You just change the clothing. Okay? Now, what did Peter do about this? Notice back in 2 Peter chapter 2 again, he says, "For this reason, because I'm about to slip out of this tent," he says in verse 12, "I will not be negligent to remind you of these things, even though you know them, so that you will be established in this truth. I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." Verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of those things after my death." Third thing Peter did was he didn't quit living because he was about to die. Mark that. Jesus knows that the hour has come that he's going to leave this world and go to the Father, right? He didn't pack it in. He brought his disciples to the upper room. He said, "With great desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." He washed their feet. He taught them about the vine and the branches. He taught them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He taught them about the wonderful new provisions they would have in prayer. He taught them a mystery about himself and the Father and the Spirit. He taught them how the Holy Spirit was going to come. He didn't stop serving because he was going to die. And that's what Peter's doing. Because of that, we have this marvelous second epistle of Peter, where Peter, on the threshold of the hour of his death, took pains, took time to communicate to those who would live after he died.
To turn the old phrase on its head, it's only when we are heavenly minded that we can be any earthly good. It's a very shallow life that's lived only for the sake of a few short years here. In this message, The Art of Dying Well, Part 2, we're centering our attention on Peter's final written words that we also heard from Paul today. If you'd like to have the entire sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. And we've gathered the 6 talks in the series on as many CDs, offering them to you for a gift of $26 or more. The album is also entitled The Art of Dying Well. Listeners are the reason we exist, and listeners are the reason we can exist. Right Start comes to you every weekday and 24/7 on the internet because some of you have made it so by praying and giving. We're grateful for every one of you standing with us. And if you're not yet an active part of the ministry, you can be. Just mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And find us on the website, which is rightstartradio.org. That's the main place where you can get audio resources from us. For example, you can play radio programs from our extensive library. You can play or download complete uninterrupted sermons. And if you choose to donate or email us, we won't fill your inbox with spam, we promise. Visit us soon at rightstartradio.org. And thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. What happens if we don't orient our life and death around the reality of eternity? We'll think about that and more next time. Please join us for the conclusion of this sermon on tomorrow's Right Start.